Alrighty. Hello. This is reporter Shelby Herbert, and today I am hosting PMC Live, where we get a chance to talk with some folks from the Petersburg's Medical Center. Today I'm joined by Phil Hofstetter, the CEO of PMC, as well as Kirsten Testoni, our home health manager, and Brandy Boggs, patient navigator. Thank you all so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having us.
Excellent. So, Phil, you gave a really interesting address to the assembly earlier this week. I've got the docket right in front of me. It looks like you worked through quite a bit. I'm especially interested in any facility updates. I heard a little bit about an open house. I heard about a community survey.
A couple of, so we're finally seeing some, you know, there's a lot of activity behind the scenes that have been occurring over the last number of years. And now with some of the funding that we received from the appropriations, we're able to move forward on some of these initiatives. And first, the first thing is probably to, you know, address that we're going to have a presentation at the next assembly meeting, a substantial one. And really what we're going to focus on are on April 17th with the Burr Assembly meeting, the overall status of the project, the site plan, construction phasing, the project delivery method, and RFP, which is a request for proposal process for pre-construction services. So really to kind of give an overview of where we are to date, you know, what we've done, the work that's been done in, leading up to this, and then really setting the stage for going forward. You know, this is a phased process. It's a very complex project. It's going to needs to occur in phases. It's not you know, one project and then, you know, you have very, very specific steps. This is a very much a phased process due to the complexity of the project. So that's where we are. And stay tuned from that. And during each phase of the project, what we'd like to do is get community feedback and also having an not necessarily a town hall or a community cafe, but really kind of an open house where we're allowing the community to come in for a set period of time, you know, like maybe a couple of hours. And the idea is to follow sort of the DOT open comment period where they have posters and we have subject matter experts and staff experts and even board members there as well, and to kind of talk through where we are with that phase. And that we're trying to replicate that model just to involve the community, so there's no surprises. We're really trying to bring everyone on at the same page where we are in the process. So that's kind of the objective.
That's great. That is super exciting. Let me see here. So just so I'm clear, this survey that's set to take place, that is something that people can just come in and take, or will that be mailed out, or seeking a certain
survey? Yeah, just a SurveyMonkey, which is a QR code. So it's an opportunity for for anyone to really provide information and feedback. And we'll be gathering those. We're doing them out also at the staff level, so at the hospital level, so we make sure we have staff. In the same way that we want to involve the community, we want to make sure we involve the staff on each step of the process and getting that feedback. So we're trying to have cover all the bases, as well as the assembly. So anytime we turn around, we want to make sure we cover all the different stakeholders within the engagement. And then we'll try to provide presentations through the assembly. We are on the agenda to provide a presentation to PIA also on 19th, and just making sure we're bringing everyone along and having an opportunity to have a comment. And sometimes even through that comment process is change and take that information in as well. So really, it's a pretty complex issue. It's a once in a lifetime, once in a generation experience. These are massive projects. They're very complicated. They're outside the, you know, I hear often, well, how do we afford something like this? It's like, we can't afford it. It's too big. You know, it's one of those, a hospital is a major project. That's why we need federal funding. That's why it needs to have in a phased process, but it's a core component of the community. And I think it's very important, in the future of our healthcare.
And the federal funding, that's what the, those RFPs are for, you mentioned?
Request for proposals are to engage, for example, an architect, and the contractor.
I thought it was like granting. My bad.
well, we get federal funds, and we're required to follow processes like that. And we also have to make sure we're following the borough process. We have to make sure we're following the federal process through the granting agencies. So, for example, because it was Senator Murkowski's appropriations, that's federal funds. They have specific requirements that we have to follow in specific steps. For example, an environmental study on the site. So, ideally, we would like...
Might be building over that muskeg, right?
Yeah, and they have to happen before or in tandem when you're actually looking at a site selection so that there's a little bit of a chicken and the egg. You can't really put forward a site unless you have some of this pre-work done. And so we're working through a lot of those processes right now. And
exciting.
They're fairly complex. They're very regimental. So we have a great owner's rep that's really experienced and has done many, many projects in the state. And so, and architects that have a lot of experience in this as well. So
that's great. Well, thank you so much for that update, Phil.
Yeah.
Brandy, I'm going to put you in the hot seat here. Any updates in your role as a patient navigator?
I wouldn't say there's any updates. I would like to add that, and I think I spoke some time ago with the radio about being a care coordinator. So I was certified by the state of Alaska to be a care coordinator.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And so PMC is a waiver service provider. And so if we have community members that want to find out more information about the waiver, it's a semi-complicated process, but that's why we have care coordinators, so we can help you walk through that. But if there are community members that are in need of services, if they think they need some supports in their life, I can come in, we can do an evaluation, we can call Senior and Disability Services and, you know, see if they would meet the eligibility criteria to get those waivers in place. And that would bring in some home and community-based services into their home. So I encourage anyone who has questions about it, or if they just want more information, if they have a friend, family, loved one, somebody who they think might need some extra services in their home, they're elderly, they're disabled, anything like that, or if they just have questions, just please reach out, give me a call. I'd be happy to answer any questions I can. And then part of the patient navigator, which I'm hesitant to use the word patient, but if there's community members out there, again, that need help and assistance with any kind of paperwork, insurance programs, veterans affairs, if they need assistance getting some reimbursement programs through Beat the Odds, anything like that, please feel free to give me a call. If you have a need and you are needing some support, give me a call and I'll do my very best to try to figure out how we can best support you in that. So please call our office. It's 772-5716.
Thank you so much, Brandy. And you mentioned something really interesting briefly. So Beat the Odds, as far as I'm aware, this is a program to assist local cancer patients. Seems very exciting. Kirsten or Brandy, would either of you be able to tell me anything about the Beat the Odds news?
So we've actually partnered with Beat the Odds to provide some in-home services for folks. So anybody who is impacted by cancer, whether they're in recovery, whether they're receiving active treatment, newly diagnosed, the one thing that we can offer and that we've got an amazing person, we're working with Mandy Maids, just give our office a call, like Brandy said, and we can connect you with her. And we've got some funding to help pay for some housekeeping. We're looking at some additional services, but right now it's just the housekeeping piece, and we are actually utilizing that service. We've got somebody who gets some housekeeping right now from her, and it's just, it's wonderful. Beat the Odds is such an important program because it really focuses on the support of people with cancer or impacted by cancer. And they've got support groups and they've got, some resources. And as Brandy said, she can help connect you with things like angel flights and, to help lessen some of the financial burden, at least.
Certainly for the folks back home, what is an angel flight?
So I can answer that. So Angel Flight is a company that partners with Alaska Airlines. They provide flight services. Specifically, I'll talk just in our rural community. They partner with Alaska Airlines and they offer flights. They will pay for flights for folks. It's not cancer specific. So if somebody out there is having trouble getting airfare, we can submit a request to see if they would be eligible to receive a flight to, say, Juneau or Anchorage, sometimes Seattle, for a treatment of a chronic illness, so like cancer. And then I'm going to add just a little bit to Beat the Odds. So there are three programs that I help folks with through Beat the Odds. They're reimbursement programs. So folks that are having to travel regarding their cancer treatment, if they would like to try to get some reimbursement for their airfare, but for their, well, one does do airfare, for their lodging, for their taxis, those kinds of things, just reach out to me. I have all the applications. I'll just copy all of your receipts. I'll get them submitted. It requires a signature, and then I submit them for folks. So, again, those are great programs out there. I think they're not well known, and so they're underutilized. So if we can get folks to call about them, there's not an income requirement. So reach out if that's something that would be useful for folks.
Thank you for breaking that down for me, Brandy. And thank you, Kirsten, for breaking down the Beat the Odds program. Angel Flights were not something I was aware of, but that sounds super important. I mean, medical expenses alone are pretty, those can be a lot to deal with, but living in a rural area like this where you have to fly out to get, complicated treatments, I'm sure that makes the process a lot easier. Wow, that's incredible. I definitely learned something new today. Awesome. Let me see here. So Kirsten, I heard you have some interesting grants in the works. Can you tell me more about that?
Sure. So Brandy had mentioned that we are a waiver service provider. And when we got that designation, the first thing we thought about was what kind of programming can we do? And so we are actually actively in the process of creating an adult day program. I don't have a start date yet. We're still looking at a place for a location to have this program. But it would be a really amazing opportunity for people to come and spend the day with us in a supportive environment where they would be able to partake in activities. We are going to offer some personal care. So if you live in a home where you don't have a handicap accessible shower or that kind of thing, it also is really important for caregivers because it will be the first step in providing some respite care. I'd love to say it's all day evenings, but it'll be short term to start, probably 4-hour blocks. And we're looking to roll that out sometime late summer. But on top of that, we're in the process of applying for a really interesting grant that would absolutely help to support our senior in-home services. It's a big grant. It's a big undertaking. And if you're fortunate enough to receive those funds, we will be able to do so much for our community. So it's really exciting. And Brandy's got some statistics, on our aging population and why these services are so incredibly important.
Definitely. Yeah, so... The grant we're applying for is through, again, the Senior and Disability Services Department with the state of Alaska. It is for in-home services for our elders. Part of that is what they category of respite. And so adult day does fall under that, if in that grant program. For us in our region in Southeast, we are the largest population of folks over the age of 60. We're also the fastest growing region. And so it's really important to be able to be the hub that provides these services, not only to our community, but to some of our outlying communities as well. We have lots of rural communities that just don't see services. And it's just an important part to be able to help folks age in place. And give them the quality of life that they need to stay there in their homes. Because that's state of Alaska did a needs assessment, and one of the top needs from elders was that they want to age in place and they want to stay in their home and community. And I think we can all relate to that. And so we're working really hard to get this grant in order to be able to provide those services to this community and to some of the outlying communities in our region.
Certainly. That's wonderful to hear. I imagine. Yeah. I mean, just, that would be a huge disruption at the, just having to pick up and move out of state off of the island. That's wonderful that you all are doing that. That's great. Let me see here. How's the lending library going, Kirsten?
So actually, I have that on my list to talk a little bit about. Yeah. So we do have a very large lending closet for people who might need walkers or wheelchairs, shower benches. We've got some bed rails. We've actually got some hospital beds. We also have a little bit of grant money for if anybody has a particular need. You know, if they need a new wheelchair, a new walker, you know, let us know because we are going to be submitting for those things as well. But just come to the home health office or give us a call, and we'd be more than happy to lend you some of this equipment. We've also actually given people things that need them long-term or that needed them to move out of the community. We just provided someone with a walker who was leaving. So it's really important that the stuff is in great condition. We clean it. We check it out to make sure that, you know, it's in good working order. There is no charge for it. We do ask people to sign, you know, that they've taken it out. We try to get it back. But like I said, if we don't, that's okay, too. We just want people to have what they need. And living in this remote community, it is so hard to get things. We actually even have an oxygen concentrator, which is in use right now. And I think we just purchased a feeding pump as well. So we've got some pretty high tech equipment. But it is so hard to get these things here. And we just want our folks to have what they need.
Certainly, certainly. Oh, gosh. Thank you so much, Kirsten. That is about all all of my questions for you all today. Is there anything I missed that anyone would like to add about the goings on at PMC?
I wouldn't mind just adding. I mean, I want to thank Kirsten and Brandy about the energy behind the program. And these services are really have been in great need here in the community. Early on when I came here, we did community cafes and heard from the community. We had one where the vice president of AARP came in, and this was in November of 2019 before COVID hit. And all these services that we're describing here came out of that recommendations from that November community cafe and aging in place, a patient navigator, and even through COVID is applying that same methodology and seeing the services come into the home and being delivered where people were at was so powerful that we are trying desperately to keep the program and build the program. And I say desperately is because one of the unfortunate things about our insurance companies, health insurance, whether it's Medicare, Medicaid, Premera, Aetna, you know, any insurance company, we haven't really trued up where we are from a prevention standpoint and also with a continuity of care standpoint. And so I'd like to see insurance companies that we're not a grant-driven program, that these are supported by our health insurance. These are adopted as activities that actually prevent people from coming into the hospital. Hospital is necessary, of course. We need those high-level services inside the hospital, but we also need to have those extension of services in the community, in the homes, and allowing a payer source to be able to sustain those long-term is really, really important. And health insurance should provide those, Medicaid should provide those, Medicare. I'm a strong believer in that. But right now, until that occurs, we have to have, these are grant-driven programs. And so it's been a real struggle, I have to say, because, you know, ideally, when we're going through post-COVID world, where there's all inflation, a lot of these payers and insurance companies have not, increased their rates or their amounts, then we're looking at things that are very dire and cutting programs is the easiest thing to do. And I put that in air quotes because they're not easy. And we're trying desperately to try to keep these programs and not only keep them, but grow them. And there's some risk, you know, in doing that because we don't have a lot of money to be able to support the program. So we're very excited to bring these programs forward. We're very excited about potentially landing some of these grants. This could really turn the corner in building these programs out. So I just, you know, I think my comment is that these are very hard programs to maintain. The payer model And it doesn't support these programs generally, prevention programs, childcare even, these after-school programs that we have now for wellness and activities do not get supported at the payer level. And they must be supported at the payer level. Waiting for people to be sick in the hospital, ER, acute care, that's where the payment source drives, unfortunately, in healthcare. And so trying to push programs in prevention and wellness, home-based programs, very, very hard to do at a community level, but so, so important. It's one of the values I pride this community on and this hospital on, is providing those services in the community. And I would challenge no other healthcare entity is doing those things, because they're following a business model, business practices. And I know that's all well and good, but it's very important that we try to change some healthcare mindset and really get health insurance and payers to support some of these programs as well in the long term.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Phil. And thank you all so much for joining me this afternoon. Again, this program is held every first Thursday at 12:30 p.m. Thank you so much for joining me for PMC Live.